I would like to introduce my son. My name is Peter Sadwe, the name is Mamba. I'm the chairman of the portfolio committee on international relations and cooperation. On behalf of my colleagues in this portfolio committee, I would like to warmly welcome our Cuban heroes, the Cuban choir, and the entire Cuban delegation. Let's give them a round of applause. Although I am not able to see where all the members of the portfolio committee are present, I would like to start with them so that when you address us, we know who you're speaking to. I'm going to ask them to introduce themselves, members of the portfolio committee. Honorable Kalyan, can I be unfair and start with you?
Good morning, members, and good morning to our visitors. My name is Sandy Kalyan. I'm a member of parliament, a member of the portfolio committee, and I represent the Democratic Alliance, which is the largest opposition in the state.
Thank you, Mr. President. My name is Ken Giwe Nexin. I'm the member of the Sectoral Committee. I represent EFF, which is the deadline for the think tank in this parliament. We are coming home in South Africa within 5.
Hello, Kater, who are you? Thank you, Honorable Kater. Honorable Kater, I am the leader of Kater, the member of the International Relations Portfolio Committee, and representing the People's Voters Movement, the African National Movement. Hello, Kintana. My name is Lorenzo Umlor. I'm a member of this committee and representing the African National Congress. Thank you very much, colleagues. Welcome.
Thank you very much, President. My name is Demanja, a member of this committee and a member of the African National Congress. And thank you very much for your welcome.
I don't see honorable member Kenya and Maputi and Alomisa. We introduce them later when they come. And then I said that there are chairperson and other members of parliament that I'm also going to allow to introduce themselves. And then we start with another member, Masangu, and the portfolio committee is serving.
My name is Ayuma Masangu. I'm a member of the ANC and I represent the committee on arts and culture. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. We welcome the Cuban heroes. I am the Rangunia, the Chair of the Portfolio Committee on Health and the member of the African Congress. Thank you.
Marcela?
Thank you, Chairperson. Very much, Marcela. The Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Home Affairs, and also assisting the Internal Assembly and the Chairperson of Arts and Business Court.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I am very welcome. And representing on of the Portfolio Committee on Arts and Culture. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I'm Kalereko Malubule, a member of ANC on the ANC Committee of Culture.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you, Chair. I'm Dr. Thomas Chair. I'm a member of the Portfolio Committee of Health, and I represent the African National Congress.
Thank you.
Thank you
very much, Chair. Good morning, everyone. My name is Jeff Connick. I'm joint standing committee on intelligence
in Parliament, but I'm also the staff convener of the Citizen Stability, which brings together a total number of the Committee for Defence, Police, Intelligence, International, and so on, in Parliament. And I'm excited to welcome to this Parliament and South Africa.
Honourable Sir, can you come this way and then introduce us? Just come back then. And where are you? Yes, very well, gentlemen. I am Noel, representing Popular Movement Party, currently the Deputy Chairman of the National Council of Provinces. It is the other house of Canada. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Honorable Tao. Honorable Rakuti.
Thank you, good morning. And my name is Dinao Bibi Rakuti. I am from the ANC. I'm the member of International Executive Committee Association.
Thank you very much. Once again, I want to welcome members of the media as well as various political parties and organizations from labor, organizations from civic, organizations from the church, and the deputy speaker who has hosted a breakfast with the Cuban delegation and the Cuban five. Most welcome, Honorable Deputy Speaker. And with that, I just want to program my welcome by just a very few words. Many of you would remember, that the country called Cuba has been very internationally and very progressive in its approach to international policy. It worked very hard in ensuring that the countries that were still not independent and still not free in the African continent do get their freedom. Many of you would remember that during the 1980s, at the height of the freedom struggle, the then president of South Africa, Sigalo Zwane, and his bureaucrat believed that there was a total onslaught against South Africa by the communist countries and the frontline states, and they contrived a total strategy. One of the legs of the total strategy was to attack the neighboring countries, to get into Mozambique, into Angola, into Lesotho, into Botswana, into Zimbabwe, etc., looking for terrorists, the countries that harbored our freedom fighters. That is why, in 1987, the South African Defense Force got into Angola, one, to undermine the MDLA government, which was a communist socialist government, but secondly, to get into the hands of the ANC, which was the man. And in response to that, you then had the Battle of Quito, Canada, where you had the combined forces of the Cubans, Namibia, Togo, the MPLA, the MK, the Russians, who utterly defeated the South African Defense Force. You would remember that your president, our president, President Fidel Castro, then said, the history of Southern Africa will be written before and after Quito, Canada. Because that battle, that great battle of Quito, Canada, was so decisive that it marked a turning point. For instance, in the quadratide his argument that was then held. It was agreed that the South African Defence Force for South Africa must be all from Angola, that the Cuban forces must also be withdrawn from Angola, that South Africa will also withdraw from Namibia, and this process then led to the release of the South Sudan team, Joyful and Joyvonada, and then it led to the independence of Namibia. On the other hand, in the same year 1989, our own leader here, Walter Sisulu, over the day and others were then released. But the following day, which is 1990, President Sisulu then announced on the 2nd of February, announced that the ANC and other political conditions are on them, and that Mandela would be released. But those among you who participated in the battle of Quinto Caravana actually gave back to this democratic parliament that we have today. Not only that. Yeah, I think we need to give them. Not only that. But Cuba over millions had fought for a free and a democratic South Africa in various international platforms. The non-aligned movement, the United Nations, the Socialist League, International Socialist League, and the Western Front. So, with that, we want to warmly welcome you to the Parliament of South Africa. Now let's get into our agenda. I am going to invite His Excellency Ambassador Carlos, Ambassador to South Africa, to perform the honor. Ambassador?
Thank you, Chairman. Good morning to all of you. I would like first to say that how great an honor it is for Cuba to be here in South Africa Parliament and to be welcome in South Africa. On behalf of the ANC of the Cuban side. They come here to pay the respect to South Africa and to appreciate the solidarity of South Africa for their cause. In many ways, their visit here is an expression of a nation of the relationship between our two countries. A relationship that was formalized as a diplomatic engagement with the hours of the inauguration of a government in South Africa that was truly representative of all the people of South Africa in May of 1994. But truly, it is a much older relationship. It is a relationship that dates back to the early years of the Cuban Revolution to the beginning of the 1960s, when we started to support the fight against apartheid and situation segregation in South Africa. When Che Guevara claimed in the United Nations that the United Nations was failing its role if it did not condemn apartheid in South Africa. When we trained professionals, when we trained the NKK, when we supported the struggle against apartheid in our contribution to liberation in Angola and other parts of Africa. So our relationship with our relationship based on some of them. Still today, after in past 20 years after 21 years of freedom in South Africa, and after having and enjoying a diplomatic relationship, it continues to be a relationship based in solidarity. When we look at trade, when we look at technical assistance, when we look at training of professionals, when we look at delivery of mental services, we're still speaking of a relationship of trust, of a fraternal relationship between countries that share our solidarity. And that is the nature of the relationship here. And as you see it in the nature of the presence of Cuban fighters, which, as many of you know, are free as a result of a political decision that was forced to take into account the immense international movement of solidarity in South Africa played a fundamental role. This found a path to resolution in August of last year, the crisis in that direction, and the Cuban crisis appreciative of that, and the Cuban people in general are very thankful to the people of South Africa. We believe we will get it better. Cuba is proud to have South Africa as a friend. We thank the people of South Africa, and we feel fortunate to enjoy the friendship and the solidarity of South Africa, and the presence of our heroes here today is a testimony of that. I would like to refer to Fernando Gonzalez, one of the five heroes, for him to speak about the current situation in the relationship of Cuba and the United States. Because in many ways, the cause of the Cuban problem and their release is involved in the essence of that relationship. I believe that. Who better than one of our heroes to speak about it? I would like to take the opportunity for all those fellows who do not know to pretend to hear them so that you know them by name, and I would ask if one of them to stand up so that you meet them. We have René Gonzalez. Ramón Dalí. Gerardo Hernández. Antonio Herrera. They come to South Africa with their family, with their wives, with their sons, the kids of the family, who were important fighters in the struggle for their release, who stood strong in demand and in inspiring people all over the world to push for solidarity and to help them and to help the people achieve this resulting dream of the release. And have never lost faith, never lost trust. Well, one more bending the knee or leaving the strength that one needs to put their love in. With this, I would give the floor to the left for him to speak on the
with left ambassador, I just want to respectfully ask for a minute. I just want to introduce some of my leaders here. We have been joined by the Deputy Minister, Deputy Minister Willie Lema, will you please rise? Deputy Minister of International Relations and Cooperation, he hosted your dinner yesterday. Welcome, Deputy Minister. We have Deputy Minister of Energy, Deputy Minister Majola. Will you please rise? That's our Deputy Minister. And I've seen a few honorable members are request to them to introduce themselves and then and declare to Fernando. Matar.
Yes, my name is Musaledi Matar, the member of Parliament of the Republic of South Africa. Thank you.
I'm Bukisa Ranko, a member in good standing in the African National Congress from the same state and a member of Parliament.
Who else is in good standing?
What is that? I'm Maduran Matavja, a member of Parliament representing the African National Congress. Thank you
very much. I hope we are done. And I suspect I will not come back for introduction of honorable members. Over to you, Senator. I request that you come here.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Good morning to all of you. It's truly an honor on all of by the Cuban delegation to be here in this place with you. I'm going to briefly, very briefly, say a few words as a Cuban citizen about the process of that started or that was now December the 17th of conversations between the government of the United States and the government of Cuba. And then I would like to give the floor to my brother Ramon, who is going to speak to you and to address you regarding all the issues.
we come all of us come from a generation or are part of a generation of Cubans who were have lived over all our life in Cuba under the hostility of the U.S. government. And we are, of course, hopeful that this situation can change. And we are hopeful that the conversations that are taking place between the government of the United States and the government of Cuba allows a different kind of environment or a different kind of relations between the two countries, that Cuba could trade and develop without the hostility of the government of the United States. But it's important today that those conversations and the agreement between the two governments of opening up embassies and developing normal relations, or working towards the process of having normal relations, have been achieved without Cuba having to file in any precedent. And as a result of the resistance of the Cuban people for longer than 55 years, and it's also as a result of the solidarity that Cuba has achieved from South Africa and from many other people throughout the world, that had allowed for this process to start. It is a difficult process, and it's a process that is based and is always going to be based on the respect for Cuban sovereignty and for Cuban rights to choose its own path, its own system. We are going to surrender that right. And we have a revolution and we have a social project that has cost lots of lives to defend. And we're never going to forget that. We're never going to forget the sacrifices for our people to achieve what we have. We've been struggling for independence, for real independence, for true independence, for longer than 100 years, or longer than 150 years, and we're never going to forget that. So we are willing to, as we have always been, willing to have a respectful relation with the United States government, and if it was not a year before, it was not because Cuba didn't want to. It was because the United States government never accepted the reality that Cuba has the right to be independent and sovereign. Those are the basis of the conversation and the possibility to establish diplomatic relations and work towards normalizations of the relations. And these normalizations, as the president of Cuba has said, involve the lifting of the blockade and the return to Cuba, the naval base of Guantanamo. I'd like to mention also that Cuba has been solidarity with all people since the time of the revolution. It's going to continue to be that way. Cuba has the right, the will, and it's part of our principle to be solidarious with the people, to be solidarious with all the causes, your causes throughout the world. And it doesn't matter whether the United States and Cuba develop normal relations. Cuba is never going to surrender the right to continue to be solidarious and supportive of causes throughout the world that deserve to be supported and that deserve the company of the Cuban people. Those are the brief comments that I wanted to make regarding those issues. The Cuban citizen, as one of those Cubans walking the streets,
who looked at the process and the announcement made on December the 13th, we hope, because we want to have neighborly relations with the United States, and we've always wanted to live a peaceful life. So we thank the people of South Africa, and we thank this parliament for the solidarity and the revolution's path in support of the human rights and in support of the lifting of the embargo. An embargo, by the way, that is still in place, regardless of the conversations between the two governments, the government of Cuba and the government of the United States. An embargo that is in place, regardless of the possibilities that the President of the United States, as the executive branch of the government, has in his hand to allow for some flexibilization of the rules and the embargo, right? And hasn't done it. So it is something that we Cubans and friends of Cuba around the world still have to fight for, to struggle for the lifting of that embargo and for the return to Cuba of that piece of our land that has been illegally occupied by the United States government for too many years now. So we thank this parliament, and we thank the South African people for the solidarity expressed through the years with the cause of the freedom of Cuba, fight on the cause of Cuba. Thank you very much.
Before I invite very short comments and questions and some statements, if there will be any, we'll then allow the leader of the delegation to also say in a few words. Please come to the head table. That is a giant in a glass.
Oh, you are a giant here as well. So, thank you, Mr. Sherman. It's an honor and a great privilege to be here in this beautiful and historical place. We need to say Ghana because it's never enough to say thank you so much from the bottom of our heart on behalf of the human rights, on behalf of our family, on behalf of our people, and even our government, because of the solidarity, the support, all the love and appreciation we have received from the very beginning. And especially we, that we have been very emotional from the very beginning with the welcome to the recipients of us. And you can guess how we can feel about 6 months and some days ago, 3 of us were still in prison. The situation was terrible. I mean, very complicated situation for us legally and in every sense. My brother here, Gerardo Hernandez, he was serving a sentence of 2 life and 15 years in prison, which means that he was supposed to die twice in prison. And then when he was born again, he was supposed to do another 15 years in prison. Well, it may be funny, but it's a very, very complicated situation. It's very tough. And we know that you understand very well how hard this struggle has been for us and for everybody. In our case, Antonio had a few more years ago. In my case, he had a life before. He got a life close 10 years. And unfortunately, because of the agreement process, and especially because of the solidarity, we received some sentence. So he was doing about 25 years and a month. In my case, I have 1 life and 18 years. And sentence, this is the new sentence of his use, which means it's alive too, but well, in terms of abuse. But here we come, time back, and we are here today. We want to say that we are here today because of you. We are here today because of you, brothers and sisters. We are here today because of a huge solidarity movement that was built from heart, from soul of every human being all over the world. We are here today because of you. And we want to say thank you again. Thank you so much. We feel so emotional, and at the same time we feel that we have a very high responsibility with our people. That we have a very high responsibility with Africa also. Africa has been and is with in our heart. When we are suffering in Africa, it's like we are suffering our own skin. So, and we have shown that to fact, not only words. We have been in Africa before to free Africa from apartheid or apartheid. We have many major teams here right now in Africa. Fighting Ebola. We have many doctors, nurses. We have engineers. We have people who go to every part of the world to help all people. We are not a rich country. We are a poor country. We don't have a lot of resources. The most important resource we have in our country is the human being. That's the main and most important resource we have in our country. And we give to others what we don't have sometimes. That's the principle of this revolution. That's what makes a revolution possible. If you let me say, I'm bringing here, I'm with all of us, I would like to bring here the spirit of love, solidarity, and gratefulness of the human people. I'm bringing here the spirit of the revolution. I'm bringing here the spirit of the Castro, the spirit of solidarity, the spirit of we need to look forward. We need to build bridges. We want to also follow the spirit of Nelson Mandela, because Nelson Mandela was a teacher for us. He was and he is an inspiration. I remember the time when we were in our cell in prison, and we were living through best of times when we couldn't see the harm, or when we didn't know what was going to happen the following day. And I can say that the Taliban always keep in our cells, three pieces. First, one of the attack. Second, one of the Kelly. Third one, Nelson Mandela. Because these three leaders, among many others, were the inspiration for us to keep up alive. When we don't have nothing else to hang up, we have the spirit of Nelson Mandela. Nelson Mandela. So how to fight, how not to be successful, how to be peaceful with your soul, with your mind. And on behalf of that spirit, I would like to say thank you so very much for your support. But I would like to add at the end that the struggle continues. So it continues because now we're fighting a different and a more complicated world. We are fighting now for against terrorism as well. Unfortunately, the police is the world. We need to fight against terrorism. We need to fight for the very world for Israel. We need to fight in our case. We need to fight against the blockade. The blockade don't let nobody to like you. The blockade is in that consumer. Many things that Cuba has no businesses to everybody else like any other country. We've got many issues and still on the table to talk to the American government. So any help, any support in that sense to fight against the blockade is going to be very helpful and very appreciated. Also, there are no ways in Cuba. Every grain of our land belongs to the homeland. the Guantanamo Bay belongs to you. That's it. It's very simple. We run our land for ourselves. We deserve to have our land. That's another issue. We need to sit down and talk about the adjustment act. This law about dry food and wet food, which is a criminal law because it invites some humans to go and own society and so on. And we would like that the United States to be honest with us and sit down and talk with respect to our independence, to respect our sovereignty, to respect our freedom of choice, that all three people to choose what kind of society we want to live on. We want socialism in our country because we believe that's a better system for the poor, it's a better system for everybody, but especially for the Cuban people. And we will continue fighting for our dreams and with the same spirit that Nelson Mandela had, we would like to say again, thank you so very much. We will continue with you all along in every fight we have to fight in the future, in every struggle. You can count on us, as always. So, thank you. As long live the solidarity movement within our two countries. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mark. I am now going to invite comments and statements and currently speaking questions from the floor. The Deputy Minister of Energy, Deputy Minister Major, is going to have the first part.
Thank you, Chairperson. Gwyneth, I said that because I want to be able to say that I am a proud product of Cuba. Estudié ingeniería, estructuras en Camagüey, hace ya unos casi 30 años. I really want to say that your presence here is testimony of that international solidarity that you have been champions of. Some of the benefits and some of the work that you have spoken about is actually not even a drop of what actually is happening. If we have to look over the years at how many thousands of daughters Cuba has all over the continent, how many right now we know are in Mali through a trilateral agreement that we have with the Malian government, South Africa, Mali, and the children, the engineers, the teachers, the nurses that are there. And in all these cases, this is not done because there is a lot of benefit in terms of the economy and anything. It's done because there is that deep-seated understanding of what international solidarity is. If we were to look today across the continent and look at how many ministers, deputy ministers, even heads of state who have studied at one state Manila in Cuba, you can go to Sao Tome, you can go to Guinea-Bissau, you can go to Equatorial Guinea, you can go to Gabon, Zambia, Zimbabwe, and I can go on and on. But apart from that, you also have Palestinians who are there, thousands of them who have been educated there in Cuba. So Cuba itself is an international university. We also speak in South Africa about Robben Island being a place of learning. But for me, the biggest learning was being in Cuba with close to 100 nationalities. So while the embargo has been going on, the education and the solidarity, most of Latin America comes among either people who were educated in Cuba. And lots of those ones, as I say, also on the African continent. But I don't know if anybody has also looked and said, how many have died in the line of duty in all these countries? I think we need to pay homage to those people. There's never been any request from Cuba to say we need compensation for this. It has all been done because there is that deep-seated understanding of why we do it, from the youngest to the oldest in Cuba. I really want to take this opportunity to honor you, to welcome you, and say I think what we have done, we tried to do in a little corner, is really not even comparable to what you have done for this country, for this region, the continent, and the world at large. Viva Cuba!
Viva!
thank you very much that you can give us energy. I said I would not come back for to introduce all our members, but I did compel to indicate that we are joined by another quarter, people have been introducing themselves and what they are in their party. Can I be fair to you to introduce them?
Thank you, my name is Musi Walakota. Generally known as Tyler. I spent time on Long Island. I'm the leader of the Chorus of the People, having spent most of my life as a member of the African National Congress. And it's like how we could not have been. I'm happy to join this with the body and welcome you along some of our colleagues to the shore of our country. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Another colleague, White.
Thank you, Commissioner Gudi. I lead the African People's Convention. I go up in the other liberation movement other than the ANC. Thank you.
It has not been, you know? Makaroka?
It's an honor for you to provide. My name is Rosalia Mohutwa, and popularly known as John Mohutwa. I'm a member of the African National Congress, and I am a member of the ANC Women's League. And I've been serving in this. This is my home parliament, it's Kenyan parliament. I really welcome you people. I'm so fortunate to be here and to see what I just heard from someone. I'm very excited, because I know the background and the Deputy Minister has already alluded to the whole history about Cuba and support you gave to us as the African National Congress. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Anna Yelma Bama. Can you please?
Well, I'm Chandela Bob Mabasa, a member of the African National Congress, as well as a member of the South African Communist Party. But we really appreciate, we have got no way of expressing appreciation for what Cuba has done and contributed in the international sphere. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Pinky Porter. You just walked in.
Thank you, Chair. Let me also add my voice in.
Who are you?
My name is Yvonne Nkwekwezi Hosa. I'm the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Higher Education and Training. I was saying, let me add my voice and also expressing appreciation for the value added by the struggle of the QN to our struggle. Today we are free because of the role that they take, and we really appreciate. Thank you very much. And also thank you for coming to. So that we can also enjoy brushing shoulders with your good self. Thank you, and hope you enjoy your day.
I saw Honorable Comrade Benedetta. We are introducing ourselves, but you can just say one or two things, and then I want to invite comments from the floor. Over to you.
Yes. My name is Delike Ghana. I come from Soweto, and it has been said how much we appreciate the role that Cuba played to support our struggle in South Africa, but even more important, not just in South Africa. This was a struggle for humanity, the empowerment, the oppressed, people who are known in the world, Cuba identified with them and supported them. We really, very deeply appreciate that support for humanity. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Comments from the floor. But you should have said we're together the same university at some point or another. Cody, you want to have the first one?
Yes, thank you, Commissioner. I must say that we all can have a lot to say about
Cuba and all that, it has played not only in Australia but in other countries in Africa and beyond, which kind of all those progressives didn't appreciate. And I think it is indeed an honor for us to be hosting this conference from Cuba. The leader of the delegation, Committee Lord, said they are here because of us. But I think it must be said that some of us who are in the struggle are here primarily because of the Cubans. We know that the events in La Bola, Quito, Carnavali led to a chain reaction that led to our own freedom. So I think that point that needs to be made. And however, Committee wants to just to find out in terms of risk analysis and risk management. The rapprochement by the Americans, it has its own advantages, potential advantages, but it also has its own risks. Because when Obama made the announcement about trying to restore relations, I underline the point about not doing or doing not doing the same thing that does not bring results, which implies a change of tax, but still to achieve the same thing. Has that element been looked at and how is it going to go?
Gentlemen, Dr. Maricela.
Thank you, Chair. I don't know where to start to thank the heroes of our struggle, the Cuban comrades, because life is man's greatest possession, and they were willing to give it free in a voluntary, in solidarity and voluntary. And if you give men your time, that which cannot be bought or quantified material, nobody can actually start thinking how to thank you for that. And it was not because of their sacrifices and internationalism and solidarity at the greatest land battle on the African soil, the Battle of Quito Carnavali, which turned a tide against the enemy of progress. Our struggle would be maybe going on by now. So you see, they bought with their lives and time our freedom. So how do you pay people who cannot express our appreciation for this? How do we pay them except that we love you, the children here? And I don't know. I can't say it, but it's in my heart. So I can't express it with words because we were there. It's not that we read about it and we know what you did. You fought side by side with us without expecting any reward. So we can't reward you. Just know that in our hearts, we wish we could do the same thing you did for others. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Any further comments or questions? Honorable Tom.
Thank you, it's just a comment. I think it's equally important for us to take our hat off for the wives, for the women who were left behind when their husbands were incarcerated. And they kept the home fire burning, and they are the ones who endured most of the pain. Because if you are incarcerated, you are in pain, you understand that you are going through hell. But women out there, people will take for granted that they are okay. Meanwhile, they are not. In our own experience here in South Africa during the apartheid regime, the system would not only incarcerate men, but make sure that they destroy the marriages of those people. So we want to take our hands off for the women, and we want to say to them that we are supporting them, that they are supporting us, and we wish them well. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Honorable Bumana followed by Honorable Maila. thank you. I all what I wanted to say has been said. Contribution to young God to the training of our Caleb. Contribution you made in Angola, training of Caleb. Contribution you made in the fight where there was a joint of the MK and so forth. The contribution you make when training our doctors and our students during the liberation. I don't know what to say, but most of the time is you have shown us and the world what a human being is and what he should do for another human being. Irrespective of color, creed or race. We thank you for that.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Mayela.
Thank you very much, Chaplain. Chaplain, this is indeed a very emotional moment. And we are at loss of weight. But one other thing that I appreciate the most is the deep sense of patriotism which is shown by the Cuban people. I think we can learn from them. And thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mason.
Thank you, Chairman. I just want to join my colleagues in thanking the country. As I have indicated, I'm the member of EFF. I just want to say that clearly, when we launch our movement in 2018, we draw inspiration from the Cuban Revolution, July 26 movement. And we are very proud of you, comrade. And since as Cuba, when we took over as government, you continue for what you fought for the poor people through your social programs. And you didn't stop by providing those social programs to the poor people of Cuba, but you continue working with Africa. That one is very inspiring. So I wish you a good luck, and I'm sure that the U.S. will have one day. They are not going to be asleep and fold our arms, because the U.S. is a very big interest that is dictating in the world, because with this sort of direction that you are placing today in South Africa, we will continue as Africans to fight you. And thank you, Chen.
Thank you very much, Honorable Edwin, Honorable Mashile.
Thank you, Chen. I think all ways of appreciation have been said in relation to the contribution that you have made to this country. I think in our small way, we should really declare that we will continue and campaign against the blockage to Cuba by the Americans. We will participate and make sure that that is removed. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Lekota. You probably should be. Okay, let me allow Honorable Dunjuan and Emma Bassa. Honorable Kota.
Yes, Chairperson, let me just say that your visit here is extremely significant. You have put faces to the number five. We will no longer talk about the Cuban Pride. We talk about comrades that we have seen, the homes in the country, we have your pictures on the wall, some of them will be framed and so on, to live and with our families and our communities. And thank you very much for that. The sun continues to set on the cold world. The fact that you are here shows that although the Berlin Wall fell in 1989, remnants of the Cold War after effect are there. Our collective duty is to continue to clean them up. And the new day, of course, becomes brighter and brighter of the world free of oppression by one and by the other. What is even more important is for us at this time to remind ourselves of
constraining obligations. You must remember that our solidarity must buy in. In the United States itself, are men who were part of the struggle that you have had for an international struggle. Yesterday, President Obama reminded the world that the artifacts of slavery, 300 years old, continues to show themselves in American society. That too is an outstanding task of internationalism. Let us go forward. We must begin to look out ahead. We must not get tired. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Another one doing one.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. In welcoming you, as Honorable Court has said, that now safety is not the number. I'm standing here to thank you of showing us that leadership, revolution, it's not about being empty. It's about humbling yourself. It's about loyalty to your country and to your people. It's about sacrifice. It's about ensuring that you lead yourself. And you have told us that, in fact, before you lead anybody or anything, you first have to lead yourself. That's why, for me, I think that you have shown that the most difficult thing to do when you are in the most difficult situation is to lead yourself. And for that, we want to thank you. I was once in Chuba for more than once, and I saw a very exciting activity, the Convention of the Defense of the Revolution. And I hope my grandchildren and our grandchildren will see that and see why it's important to ensure that the children are empowered for the benefit of your country. Thank you.
Thank you. Arama.
Thank you very much, colleague Chair. All I want to say is that the Cuban people have set the bar very high. Have set the bar very high for the whole world. The challenge that the world faces is to aspire and try to be as close as possible to how the Cuban live. If the world can achieve that, then we will really have a better world. So that you are an example of what we must aspire to become. But because you have become what you are, we will not lose hope as well. You must try to be like yourself as Cuban. Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you very much. Before I get the responses now, I'm going to read the resolution that was taken by Parliament on the 19th of August in 2014. It was certainly not the first resolution calling upon the United States to lift the embargo and to lift the Cuban Five, and by last year it was three of the Cuban Five. And to read it, it is signed by the Speaker of the National Assembly, and it reads as follows. On 19 August 2014, the National Assembly agreed to a motion noting that the Cuban Five are five men charged by the United States government of committing espionage and conspiracy against the United States of America, and as such, were imprisoned since 12 September 1998. The Assembly remembered that the Cuban Five actions were not directed at the government of the United States of America, and that it did not engage in any ill or plan any conspiracy against the government, but rather they infiltrated terrorist organizations in Miami who were planning terrorist attacks on Cuba. The House remembered that they did not harm anyone, nor did they protect or use any weapon on their mission, which was simply to protect the people of Cuba from terrorism. The Assembly believes that the United States should have worked with the Cuban staff at the time anti-terrorist operation to prevent criminal acts and to deter terrorism. The Assembly welcomes the release of the next condolence on 7 October 2011
after completing his sentence and his freedom finally being guaranteed in May 2013. In the release of Fernando Gonzalez on 27 February 2014, the assembly is called upon the South African government, civil society, and all South Africans to join the world in solidarity with the human cause, and actively participate in forums, media, publicity work, marches, and petitions geared at demanding the immediate release and freedom of the remaining members of the human cause, and also call on the President of the United States to lift the blockade immediately and engage Cuba more progressively. A copy of the minutes of proceedings of the National Assembly, dated 19 August 2014, containing the full text of the motion is at hand. Now, we will give you copies of this, and it was signed by the Speaker of the National Assembly, Honorable Ben, as I did learn down. And lastly for me, on Friday the 26th of June, you're going to join us in celebrating 60 years of the Freedom Charter. And the Freedom Charter was adopted on the 26th of June 1955. It is now 60 years old. One of the things that the Freedom Charter said was that South Africa belongs to all who live and live black and white, and that no government can just claim authority unless it is based on the will of all the people. So the Freedom Charter was responding to the apartheid government, which had excluded blacks from 1910 when the Union government was established, or the Republican Parliament 1961, or the intensification and legalization of apartheid in 1948. We are responding to that. Now there's an outcome. Yes, but the first one that says the people shall govern. The last one says there shall be peace and friendship. And our country and our parliament, to the extent that I can say, have given life to the aspiration of friendship. We have the second largest missions in the world, 126. But peace continues to be conspicuous by its absence in many pockets of the world, as you would be aware. In Africa, East Asia, and everywhere else, there is still an absence of peace. And with that, I want to defer to your good self to make some responses and comments. Over to you, William.
Well, I believe that it's mainly a question in the air, but before I address it, I want to refer to some comments. Some friends here, they have said that they don't know what to say, or they don't know what to do to think of. And I have to say that you have said and you have done a lot. You inspired us while in prison, and you brought us from the jail of the United States to here, so you've done a lot for us. And you're going to still do a lot together with us. So, I believe that that way not only shows how humble you are, but you have done a lot, and we are very appreciative of what you've done for us. For us, and for Cuba, and for the two countries. This is not the first time that we have a party like this. I mean, we have parliaments everywhere in Cuba. We go to schools, we go to places, neighborhoods, and lots of people ask the same question that our friend asked. As a matter of fact, it is interesting that you go to a secondary school, to high school, and you see kids asking that question. Wow. Now we are happy because the United States might somehow leave the blockade, but Obama says that they have to change tactics. So that means that the Cuban people is aware of truth. And that means that the average Cuban, the Cuban of food, the Cuban kids
are aware of that risk. And that gives us hope that we can face that risk. But it's a real risk. When I think of this process, I cannot forget an extreme example of what we're facing, which is Muammar Gaddafi. He thought he would be befriended by those people, and all of a sudden they destroyed his country, and he was assassinated in front of everybody. So we know what it feels. I mean, we know it up close, and we are very aware of it. But at the same time, we have to take the challenge. We need a relationship with the United States, which, by the way, has never been over. I mean, if you look at your history, we have never had normal relations with the U.S., never. Even when we were colonies, the U.S. government wanted already to have Cuba as a possession. And then after our independence, we became a neo-colonial possession of the U.S. It might have looked normal to them, but for us it wasn't that normal at all. So I hope that this process is going to take us for the first time to have something like a normal relationship with the U.S. And it's a long process. We talked about diplomatic relations, we talked about the blockade, we talked about Guantanamo Bay. They solved all the question of compensation to Cuba for all the damages that these 55 years of aggression have brought to the country. We're talking about more than 2,000 people who have died because of terrorism against Cuba. So it's going to be a long process. But the most important thing is that we are aware of the challenges. This is the process that we ask for throughout the years, because we believe it's the normal way we should relate to the U.S. and then to us. But we are very aware of the challenges that we face. We are very aware that we're going to have lots of Cuba, all kinds of people who want to do business. So all kinds of people is going to be coming to Cuba, and we have to make sure that we deal with them to the best benefit of Cuban people. And I can assure you that we're going to defend the choice that we made, which is socialism, that we're going to use that relationship to improve our socialism, to make it better for Cuban people, and of course, we're going to make it better for everybody who's been a friend to Cuba. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And for the responses, Deputy Speaker.
Chairperson, thank you very much. No, I just want to say to Ramon specifically that he stole our thunder in the House when he said we can count on this. No, you can count on us. Secondly, you also stole our thunder when he said the struggle continues. Yes. The struggle continues. And the reason is your presence here demonstrates simplicity of human values that every man being should be living in society. Men and women should live with their children together with peace. And their children, by the way, who were to struggle because the husbands were in jail, unhappy. So that message to the world is an important message. That the consequence of irrational policies that degrade relationships among nations and people and families is out of order, and we must give it a red card. That's why we reckon the struggle continues. Thank you, Chairperson, for a useful session, for insight. We also look forward, the speaker is unfortunately here. I suspect if he was here, she would have taken him to the speaker's cellar so that you enjoy also South African wine. Unfortunately, we don't keep Cuban cigars and wine in there. I thought I was mentioning that, but yes, when people celebrate, we do that. But in the future, you will have opportunities to do that. We will come and do it on your part in Cuba. Thank you very much. Thank you, President.
Thank you very much, another welcome to the speaker.
and the name of the wine is called the Speaker's Choice. I'm going to invite you now to say one or two words and give us a vote of thanks. After that, I would like to invite the Cuban Fund and the Deputy Speaker and the Deputy Minister of Energy and Honorable Arad Rizzi, to come up front here for a photo session. And after that, I will then, together with the Cuban Fund, invite members of the Portfolio Committee on International Relations to have a photo session. These two must be done for the Minister. Would you like to come in to do that? Okay?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. That's what I said yesterday evening. That's what I say in broad daylight. Because I say it without fear or favor. I say it with conviction. That never in the history of humanity has a small island, a small country like Cuba, had such a profound positive impact in the course of history of the African Union. This, Chairperson, they did it by sending not less than 400,000 of the Aboriginal soldiers to the various liberation wars in the continent. After those wars, Chairperson, they didn't take even a single ton of oil. They didn't take a single bar of gold or platinum. They only took their names. That's what the Cuban Revolution was about. That's why the African continent will be forever indebted to the solidarity movement of Cuba. Because even after dealing with the democratic state, they supported the new administration as they were set up. They didn't support this administration by sending the companies from Cuba to go and own the mines and go and own the oil wells in the various African countries. They send their daughters and sons so that they can help and get up the various administrations of the new government services up all over Africa after the liberation. But what was very important here is that this is of His Excellency President Fidel Castro in South Africa in 1998, when he said in Parliament of the Republic that he sees two South Africans. One South Africa is rich, the other South Africa is poor. And then he can define who are the poor, who are the rich. But what was profound today is what Mr. Ramona said, is that Cuba is a poor country. So it shows that almost we share the same thing. So it means that we must be in partnership with each other, challenge the whole different world system. Because no country will be able to challenge that on its own. It is through the solidarity of the various governments, civil society organizations, party-to-party relations that are all going to be able to realize that. When I went through my mail this morning, I was very interested to see that the Agricultural Coalition of America, the Agricultural Coalition of America, is condemning the embargo against Cuba. Because they see that they are losing an opportunity to invest in Cuba so that they can be rich. Now from the American, civil society of America. So what is also very important, which I found out, is that Chairperson, the community of the Latin and Caribbean states and the EU, European Union, the Friends of America, in their summit this year on the 9th of June, they also rejected the blockade. So it shows that if we can work in partnership, we can be able to defeat the enemy. Although the Indian citizens of America are not the enemy, they are also that people of America are a lot of good Americans.
That's why if you don't want to fight in South Africa, we rely on people like Senator Jalam, who ensured that the restrictions were imposed against the capitalist business in South Africa. So it means that if you come out for the big house, then the partners in the government that we go on out, we engage the civil society of America in that. So that we are able to change these laws, which are extraterritorial. The most notorious one is that better enhanced special law, of which it punishes the country or the company which does business with Cuba. But it's so unless, how can a law of one country affect the other countries? Because all the other countries are sovereign. So there is an opportunity that can exploit and gather all the forces of the West to ensure that we transform our. We don't want America as an enemy. We want to have a partnership with them because it is the biggest problem in the world, that's all. But we can work in partnership with them. But I was very, very pleased with the fact that you thought you want to work with America first because they were not to enter the city in the first instance. That's why you need the terrorists coming from the land of the United States. You went and alerted them that, hey, terrorists will take this new America for no decision to our. So, that's the point for. And the Protocol Committee on International Relations, Parliament of the Republic, is that we leave no stone unturned. We leave no stone unturned in ensuring that the agenda of Cuba is in the world map. We will leave no stone unturned to ensure that. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. Honorable Khateve, that was a vote of thanks. I can't help it. I have to introduce Honorable Ibrahim, one of our outstanding leaders, who is the parliamentary counselor to the Bank of Zuma. Comrade Ibi, can you allow me to greet? Thank you, Chairperson. Of course, I was just overcome by a political grief even arriving on Sunday. And it is a great honor for us as South Africans to have the Cuban fire. And we do remember during our exile days that when we were in the training camps in Angola, it was the Cuban instructors, among others, that were responsible for training us and other soldiers of Oporto Recife. But what we want to say to the Cubans, that after over half a century of isolation, over half a century of rebels, over half a century of terrorist attacks in Cuba, we are proud to say that Cuba is still there, and Cuba will remain there for a very, very long time. That they failed to destroy the spirit and the commitments of the Cuban people. And we are proud to have them here, and I'm sure we as South Africans have a lot to learn from the Cubans, particularly their solidarity, not only in our continent, but as in other parts of the world. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Comrade Ibi. I noted that you were not aware that I actually stood up.
In the order that I got here, the Cuban Fire Chair, with Deputy Minister, Speaker, Deputy Minister, Deputy Chairperson of the MCOP, Comrade Ibi, I'm going to ask you to join them in that order.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, members of the Social Committee on Inter-Islam Relations, can you come back? Come through then. Thank you very much.
Thank you.